You're listening to Please Save Me.
Please Save Me is the official recap podcast of Chicago Heroes, network TV's number one drama.
Chicago Heroes is definitely a real TV show, but you won't find it in any TV guide.
And if you don't watch it,
that's your problem.
You gotta take a side.
You know what makes me really sick to my stomach?
What?
It's watching you stuff your face with those hot dogs.
If you see me coming, you better run because I'm gonna lay you the fuck down.
Nobody, I mean nobody, puts ketchup on a hot dog.
Smells like courage.
Hello there, hero heads. What's up? It is the same sex, the same violence, and the same Chicago with all new heroes. That's right. It's a brand new season of Chicago Heroes, and we are here to recap it for you. I am Ben Flores, one of the world's two biggest fans of television's number one show.
And I'm Sarah Black, two of the two biggest fans of the number one TV show in the world,
Chicago Heroes.
Same sex, same drama, same violence, same city. The city of Chicago.
But all new heroes. And hopefully some all new listeners. So if you just tuned in to this TV show, Chicago Heroes, for the first time this
good
season.
Good for you. That's for great. You.
It's, oh my God.
That's
I wish that I could experience Chicago Heroes for the first time all over again.
The rapture of seeing it for the first time.
If I could get the Men in Black dudes to erase my brain with the brain eraser.
Take it out.
I would have them do it in a heartbeat just so that I could watch Chicago Heroes again for the first time.
Yeah. I'd forget some other stuff too.
Math. Don't need it. Mm-mm. Don't want it. Don't care.
Don't want it.
But you same also don't sex, need to care about what's happened
violence.
Before, right? Okay, so here's the deal. Sarah and I, we're the world's two biggest fans of television's number one show, Chicago Heroes. This is our podcast, Please Save Me. It's a recap podcast. Every week, we're going to be recapping this week's episode of Chicago Heroes. So as soon as you're done watching it, whether you're watching it on a set-top box, on an over-the-top media streaming service, on Vine, wherever you're watching it, come here to your podcast feed right afterwards.
And we'll break it down for you. We'll explore the themes. We'll explore the characters. We'll explore what makes a hero a hero.
You might call it a deep dive. And we're going to be doing it.
Yeah, we're diving in deep. We're off the deep end. Watch as we dive in.
Now, you can find all the old seasons streaming, of course, of Chicago Heroes. Those are all syndicated on Vine. And you can listen to our podcasts recapping the old episodes wherever you buy your podcasts.
Yeah, the first two seasons are all on there. They're all free. But if you want to give us money for them,
Cash App. Now, this is actually a great place, though, for new listeners and new viewers to jump in because the network has done an unprecedented thing with this television show.
Did you see this coming?
I did not see it coming.
I didn't either.
I got blindsided.
Yeah.
All right. And that brings us to this week's top blindside, which was what the network did with this show after season two.
Yeah,
which
you can't really top this one in terms of blindsides.
No.
But I'm sure they'll try.
Absolutely not. Which is about 2/3 of the way through the season. They did a hard cut. And then they didn't air the show for 4 months or so. And then they rebooted it with a brand new cast and crew.
Yeah.
Never been done before.
Never been done.
I was reading in some of the trade magazines, why did they do this is what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Right. And it turns out that they wanted to quit while they were ahead. The ratings were the highest that they'd ever been for any TV show in the history of television. And it was the president of the network said, folks, it's all downhill from here.
So they decided to do something new. They said, you know what? You're right. We'll can the entire cast. We'll can the entire crew, but we'll keep the same sex, same violence, and same city of Chicago as the main character.
You know, this president of the network, he's a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Billionaires, they climb mountains, right?
Yeah, sure.
What do you do after you climb a mountain? Got to climb another mountain.
There's whoa!
Only thing higher than a mountain is another mountain.
I was going to say puke.
Yeah. Well, that's what you would do. That's what I would do. But these guys...
But that's why I'm not a billionaire.
Exactly. These guys juice. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, anyway, so this is a great hopping on point for you. There's no chance that you're lost already.
No.
Okay. So we're going to get to the episode, but first we just wanted to plug one thing, which is we would love it if you'd engage with us online at Please Save Me Pod.
We would love it.
We would die for it.
Yeah, we would kill each other.
Kill each other for it.
For it.
Yeah. So please.
Go to at Please Save Me Pod.
On Twitter and engage with us. Tell us, you know, what were your top moments from the show? Who were your favorite characters?
Who would you fuck, marry, kill?
Exactly. So please do engage with us there, and maybe if we get some good engagement, maybe we'll read it on the podcast.
Yeah, if we get some good engagement, we'll read it.
We're not talking. Yeah, and don't tweet at us that you've got a free download of a 1080p stream of, you know, Red 2 or something like that.
Red Tube.
Red 2. Red 2 with Bruce Willis and
Red Tube.
Red 2 with Bruce Willis, Helen Mirren, John Malkovich, and other old people who don't matter the way that the cast of this show matters. Mm-hmm. So let's get on to this week's episode of Chicago Heroes. But with a little bit further ado, I'm going to first introduce our guest for this week's show. He's probably the number three ride or die Chicago Heroes fan.
Been with it since the beginning.
Day one homie. This guy's a day one homie. He's wearing a sweatshirt right now that says day one homie on it. And I don't know if it's for Chicago Heroes, but he's a day one he's a day one homie for something.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of good engagement, this is a guy who
he's broken off a couple.
Yeah.
He's a little bit online.
A little.
Yeah.
Nah, he's great at online.
You probably streamed this week's episode of Chicago Heroes, right?
On RedTube.
Yeah, I was all over. I was on X-Videos. The ad that goes before the video for the camgirl site, I went over there, and they had it streaming over there. Because I'm a cord cutter.
That's good. Connor Golden.
That's me. It's
this
Connor.
Is Connor Golden. That's Connor Golden. You may know him from... you may know him from the X videos comment section.
I'm in there. If you see someone saying nice work, that's me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I actually have a good workaround for what you were just saying, where with the skip ad on the X videos, I'll skip the ad. And then, because what I'll do is I'll just watch a cam girl who's going to be streaming the Chicago Heroes episode in the background,
right,
her stream,
yeah,
during it. So I'll just watch it there.
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah. And I'll kind of like comment at her like, hey, can you mute yourself? You
know? Hey, I'm trying to watch the show.
And sometimes, you know, you can get it really good and it's a little fun kind of, if you want to get a different experience, get one where it's shown in a mirror so you see everything backwards, you know?
Ooh, I've never tried that before. It's like watching it with fresh eyes. Yeah,
subtitles look like Russian or something.
Oh boy. Don't get me started on those guys.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they're probably hacking into this podcast as we speak.
Yet.
Well, let's hack into this week's episode.
Yes.
Okay, so this was the first episode of season three, brand new reboot.
All new cast.
Were you pretty excited for this new cast?
Okay, so they've been kind of hyping this up. They go off the air for 4 months, right? You don't even hear from us, not a peep. And why would you? There's no episode for us to recap. Why are we even going on the airwaves? So we all, a silence befalls everything.
Hibernation.
Yeah, we all take to our kind of real lives and have to live them, and that's bad.
It was a kind of a hibernation girl summer.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was.
And that brings us to this week's good one.
Wait.
This week's good one is brought to you by... It was kind of a hibernation girl summer. And that's been this week's good one.
Yeah, I was super excited about this new cast. They hyped it up for a couple weeks. They said, you were coming back. We've retooled some things. We've gotten rid of all the stuff you know and love, and we're trying something new.
Yeah.
And so new cast, I was excited. I was skeptical, though.
I was nervous because, I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to top what they did with the original first two seasons of the show. That cast was so incredible. The chemistry between everybody was so incredible.
And we really fell in love with all of them.
Right. But yeah, going into this third season, so I had gotten sort of an inside tip. I have friends out in LA, which is, of course, where they shoot the show, Chicago Heroes. They told me, like, they're rebooting it. They have a new cast. And this is before there was an official announcement of who the cast was. I was like, I don't know how they're going to be able to, beat everything that happened before. And by God, they did it.
Yeah. And what I found also very interesting, and we'll get into this obviously in the recap, is that there's really no continuity from the first iteration of the Heroes until now. So there's no traces of, Serena Sanchez. There's no, Sprouse twins magic sprinkled throughout. But yet, it's somehow better.
It has sort of the same je ne sais quoi.
It's the same joie de vivre.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's better. It's more like a
baguette.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, baguette.
It was interesting. It almost feels, because it does, like, it still has the same vibe as the first two seasons. It's like, it feels like it's sort of an anthology that exists in the Chicago universe.
Yes, yes. It all feels like it's...
It's like the ECU.
Yeah.
So, they're expanding the Chicago universe, and that's the kind of the playground that we're playing in now.
Yes.
And I didn't know how they were going to do it, because you can't just take Jordan's shoes off and give them to some other guy.
Right. And he also had two different sized feet, so that'd be difficult.
Right. Mm-hmm. Lou Aldang's not going to fit in those shoes.
Right.
But
Lou, to be clear, Lou Aldang is not on the show.
No, Lou Aldang's not on the show. This is a metaphor. So,
but they all know that. They've already watched the episode.
Yeah, everyone who's listening to the podcast that because they watch the show. So to just...
And if you didn't watch the show, this is a great time to pause and just
There's
going to
be a lot of spoilers.
Yeah,
pause,
yeah.
Go log on to X Videos and make sure that you watch the television's number one network procedural drama. Well, let me just get back to the Jordan thing, so...
Let's wrap that up.
The analogy I was making was, Lou Aldang. He's a great guy, right? Can he handle a ball? Sure. Can he make a basket? Sure. Can he fly like Jordan? Absolutely not. And if you put Jordan's shoes on him, he's still not going to be able to do it.
Lou Aldang, shots fired.
And if Lou Al's listening to this, I want to make very clear that is not my opinion. I don't want any problems.
No, Connor is, he's on the record stating that he thinks that Luol, you're the greatest player of all time.
That's exactly right.
So if you want to take that up with Connor, go ahead and find him on Twitter and tweet him about that take.
And I'll be sure to reply for several hours afterwards.
Exactly. Exactly. So this episode.
We love it.
We loved it. So we open on sort of a classic establishing shot.
Yes, the outside of a coffee store.
And not just any coffee store. It was Chicago Coffee Store. We push in. Okay, that's
an industry term.
That's an industry term.
It means something else when you're on frickin' X Videos.
Well, and some of these cam girls, they know both meanings of the word, right? Because they also are in the industry.
And they're struggling through film school.
So they know that when you are moving in space with the camera, you're not panning when you move forward. You're pushing, okay?
All right? So we push really hard into this coffee store.
We like bust into the store.
We bust hard into this store.
The shot, actually, I thought it was a really interesting shot, the hard push in, the bust, because... the glass of the front bay window of the coffee store actually shattered around the camera as we moved in. So we know that they didn't do this with CGI.
Right. You know? And you can hear the camera guy kind of go, ow, 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 ow.
Yeah. And I would say about 10 minutes into this scene, so about a third of the way into the scene, you heard him off camera. You heard a guy off camera going, "Fuck, I'm bleeding."
Yeah,
and then "Fuck, I'm bleeding so hard."
A little bit later, you do. If you listen very carefully, you got to turn up the volume a little bit. You hear sirens. And
so
say,
ask your cam girl to just shut the fuck up.
Just be quiet, please.
Yeah. If these cam girls get a little smarter, they're going to start charging tokens to shut up while Chicago Heroes is playing in the background so that people will pay them to do it.
Right.
Anyway, Connor, you were saying about the sirens.
Yeah. So, if you turn it up a little bit, you could hear sirens in the background. You hear the best boy Grip shouting for a medic. The medic screaming, he's bleeding out. You hear the heart rate flatline. It's great.
It's great.
It's sort of,
it's really good.
Yeah, well, that's really good.
It's metadrama.
Right.
You know, there's the show, and then there's the show within the show that is real life.
Right.
And so real life was happening, and the show also was happening.
Yes.
And we're going to get to that. So...
So we bust into this coffee store, and what do we see? We see the mayor of Chicago standing and talking to her constituents.
What?
Yeah, and it's Mayor Lisa Kudrow.
Great, absolutely great piece of this cast.
Perfect.
If you're going to anchor a TV show around somebody,
that piece, by the way, is so good on this cast.
if the cast is a puzzle, she is the missing.
She's the
piece.
First one. I was gonna say she's the first one.
Well, she accidentally knocked all the pieces onto the floor.
She's the first and the last.
Yeah, and you got it.
Alpha and Omega.
You need to start with the corner piece, and she's also a bit of the cornerstone of this cast, which is a piece of a building.
And now we really are solving it. Okay. So if you're connecting the strings of these different elements of the show
you
and your serial
notice.
Killer board in your mind, you might notice just how important Mayor Lisa Kudrow is. She seems to be at the center of it all, and she's in the first scene. She's talking to her constituents about, the issues.
Yes, and it's so nice to see this established as we sort of reconfigure the world of Chicago Heroes, trying to figure out if what we used to know about Chicago is still true in this iteration. And as the mayor, she does such a wonderful job of showing her humanity. She's talking about these issues and people are asking questions and she's answering the questions and she's reaching out and touching people on the arm as she talks to them, making them feel like they're the only person in that coffee store. And that's...
Not a gaffe in sight.
Not a gaffe in sight. No slip-ups. No, she's, I would say, calculated, but that's a negative. She's just smooth.
She was authentic.
Authentic, yeah.
I mean, she was really talking about... You could tell that she has familiarity with the American voters' kitchen table issues, and
she's a candidate or a politician I'd like to have a beer with.
Oh, yeah.
I also wouldn't mind going to the darn hunting with her.
I would not mind going to the darn hunting with her. I wouldn't. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, put a camo cap on me and I'll go to the darn hunting with her.
But that brings us to... That's interesting because that brings... Because
I don't think she'd want to go hunting with me for one reason.
Who taught you to hunt? Dick Cheney?
Yeah, I'm constantly shooting the people I'm with.
Was that it?
Yeah, that's why.
Were you going to say the Dick Cheney thing?
I was going to say Dick Cheney. And also, there's no guns in the city anymore.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to get to because that connects to the issues.
And that's a plot point.
It really was. Mm-hmm. One of the constituents is saying, Miss Mayor, what are you going to do next? Because you've outlawed all the guns in the city.
Yep.
You've basically cleaned up crime. That's what he said. You basically have cleaned it up.
And we thank you.
What are you going to do next? He was kind of repeating himself, talking in circles. And they filmed.
Well, he was nervous.
They kept the camera rolling on him.
Yeah, it was so clear. He'd never been like in the presence of an actor quite like Lisa Kudrow before.
Yeah, you could tell that the people that they had playing the constituents were not actors, that they were real constituents. Because it had the little political ad text at the bottom of this scene where it said, portrayed by real constituents, not actors. Like it's a Chevy commercial.
Participants were paid for their time.
Yeah. You had to get out a microscope practically to read the fine print at the bottom of this scene.
Well, yeah, I can't even imagine what it was like watching it on a cam. cam girl screen.
I did have to. I did the hold down control and then scroll up, and it zooms in real close. And I had to adjust a little bit, but I saw it there.
Yeah,
I saw the fine print there.
I took mine to my friend who's kind of a tech geek, and I just said enhance until it was clear to me what it was saying, and that's good.
I noticed that in the fine print that it had it said like you know, attention Mark Zuckerberg, no copyright intended. This post is the property of my page and my page only, and you do not have permission to repost it. You do not own this content, you know?
Yeah, and that's TBT. That's a Throwback Thursday.
And that brings us to this week's Throwback Thursday, which you've just heard. So I'm thinking at this point in the scene, okay, we're about 10 minutes into the scene. I'm thinking, so the camera guy's yelling. That takes up a little while.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, is anything going to happen?
Right. I was thinking, so mm-hmm. it's you know, it's pitched, this third season, this reboot is pitched to us as having the same drama. And I'm looking at what's going on here. And I'm thinking, well, crime is essentially gone in the city of Chicago. Well, what drama could there be?
What need is there for a hero?
And people have heard of HBO's, or whatever the show network is, Show Me a Hero, you know, and I'm saying, who needs a hero
when there's nothing to save?
That's good. That's really good. But we had to maybe out. Eat a little bit of crow.
Yeah,
here,
we
a
all,
little egg on our face.
A big dinner all, of crow.
Yeah, we all had to find a crow and kill it, snap its neck, put it on a plate,
pluck its feathers,
tuck a napkin into our collars of our shirts.
And then eat it raw.
With our hands tied behind our backs.
Some blue rare crow.
Man, that rare crow feel like you flying.
That rare crow be hitting different.
It's different. Well, anyway, this episode hit different because something did happen, right? So, yeah, okay, you guys have seen TV shows where nothing happens, right? Seinfeld.
Yeah, Seinfeld. Something happened. Seinfeld.
did somebody say Seinfeld?
Paging Dr. Jerry. Seinfeld, that is.
You know, that was 11 seasons of a show about nothing. You want to see a show that's really about nothing, watch Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
I do call it Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee now.
And
why?
That is...
I don't remember.
That's an act of resistance.
That's right.
So welcome to the resistance, Connor. And
this episode resisted not doing anything.
It resisted not doing anything. It
by
did something.
Having something.
Something happen. And there was also a citizen, a constituent, who decided to mount his own act of resistance in this coffee shop.
But bad kind.
Bad kind of resistance.
Radical conservative terrorism.
He stood, and we're going to call it what it is. He stood up in the conversation with the constituents, right?
Yeah, and in the coffee store.
He said, "Attention, Ms. Mayor."
And she goes,
"Hear ye, hear ye." So you immediately know he's sort of a conservative kind of guy.
Yeah, and he unrolls a big scroll, just unfurls.
Wearing his Confederate grays.
He was wearing his Confederate grays. Exactly. And
with just like an SS pin on the sleeve.
He had a lot of signifiers, right?
Mm-hmm. And a stupid haircut.
Ooh, yeah, definitely bad.
Yeah.
Kind of an undercut type. He's sort of
a haircut
like,
that like kind of did look good for a while.
It was weird because he had kind of like a Nazi undercut, but a big Confederate beard. You know, so it was kind of a...
He kind of looked like a Vice writer.
Yeah,
the founder of Vice.
He looked like a Vice writer, exactly.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to picture this guy, picture a Vice writer holding a big fuck off scroll in a coffee shop, standing up, addressing Lisa Kudrow, interrupting her.
Yeah,
you might say replying
guy,
to her.
Yeah, yeah. And this guy had a vice, and it was
attempted
trying
murder.
To kill people.
Yeah, he can't get enough of it. So.
He's addicted to this stuff.
So I could tell right off the bat, this guy, you better watch out because he's an assassin.
Yeah. And you see kind of the other constituents sort of, what? Like that? They're like, we've never seen this guy at all the town halls before.
Yeah. They're all kind of doing the bystander effect, you know, where they don't do anything.
And
nobody
their brows
tries
are
to stop him.
Sweaty and kind
mostly
of like,
they have their phones out filming him.
Yeah.
And his phone is not...
They're all screaming, world star.
There's a lot of that. And he does not have his phone out because he pulls out a set of throwing knives, right?
Yeah. And I had to turn to you, Ben, and say,
what kind of knives are those?
What kind of knives are those?
Yeah, I was like, I've played a little bit of GoldenEye 007 on the N64 in my day. Those are throwing knives.
So he throws.
Yeah, that's the key. You can tell the difference between a regular knife and a throwing knife by... what you do with it.
So it's the knife trying to kill the mayor, not the guy.
Yeah, the mayor was almost hit by a knife that was flying through the air at her, thrown by somebody.
But it was the knife.
That's how the New York Times would put it in one of their headlines, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Passive voice.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
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 Chicago Times. And they're laughing because the microphone almost just hit me in the face.
Almost like a knife.
Almost like a knife hitting me in the face, but
except
not quite.
You move towards the mic rather than the mic towards you.
Exactly.
Well, you're like those canine dogs. Are, you know what? Take this out.
Okay. So I'm not going to take that out. So the reader, let me just catch you up on...
If
you're reading the transcript of this episode, let me just catch you up on what just happened with Sarah. So we're recording this episode in a point in time. We don't know when we're going to release it. And she was about to make a reference to a video that was going around the internet of a Navy SEAL who trained dogs to stop school shooters by attacking them because they're not afraid of guns and they can take down the assailant. And Sarah, probably in her mind, thought, not a good reference. No one's going to get it. We might release this in a month. And it's going to be old news.
I do want to be clear. I spend most of my time on the internet, and I don't know what this video is.
But we can rest assured that you're going to spend 3 hours tweeting about it now.
Yep.
Yeah, now we all get to hear about it. Sorry.
This should have been this week's Throwback Thursday. Because a month from now, when someone's, 3 years from now, when someone's listening to this for posterity,
yeah,
they're really going to be wondering.
It was a real Throwback Thursday at the coffee store because the mayor picked up the knife and threw it back.
Yeah, so she foiled this guy, and he screams too close for missiles, switching to guns, and then he clarifies. You outlawed guns from the city, and there are no guns. So when I say too close for missiles, switching to guns, I mean I'm putting my throwing knives down, and I'm going to go slappers only, just like the N64 GoldenEye 007 game. And he said all this.
Yes. And he starts...
He's reading it from his scroll.
I do want to be clear that the reason the knives miss both of them is they're both relatively small. They're not odd job-sized people, so they have very small hitboxes. It's a lot harder to hit a smaller character, which is, of course, why you play with a female character in Fortnite.
Yeah, Lisa Kudrow, she's kind of taunting him, the mayor. She's saying, you can't get inside my hitbox. You can't get into my hitbox.
I'm very excited. I am the Fortnite Chicago Heroes collaboration. I'm really excited to start playing with the Lisa Kudrow skin in Fortnite.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She has some really good... celebrations that she does.
I think they're called emotes.
Emotes, thank you. That's what I was trying to think of. Mm-hmm. She has some really good emotes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where she signs it, she pulls out a bill and signs it into law.
One of her emotes is she does that thumb thing politicians do.
Yeah.
There's actually one that I saw that she has where she pulls out a guitar and she sits down and busks and plays sort of a funny song.
Oh, that's...
Which I thought was so creative.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
It's gonna be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're listening to this a month from now, it's probably a thing.
Should have invested now because the stock of Lisa Kudrow pulling out a guitar, playing a funny song emote is going up.
This sucks.
So anyway, we're about 15 minutes into the episode at this point. And, Connor, you're probably asking the same thing as I'm asking here, right? Who's going to take this guy down, this assassin?
Right.
I wasn't asking that.
Because it looked like Lisa Kudrow was going to manage it.
Yeah. I mean, she's already, in just these 15 minutes alone, proven herself to be more than capable.
But, I agree completely. Except, in dealing with the assassin, yes, right? This character, Mayor Lisa Kudrow, exceptionally competent when it comes to
hand-to-hand combat,
these kinds of things, right? Kitchen table issues.
Yeah.
But
doing orange justice,
she can be a little bit of a klutz. And yeah. So what Mayor Lisa Kudrow failed to consider was tripping.
Which so, she failed to consider.
Yeah. So she was, she had effectively dealt with the assailant, right?
Yeah.
And when she was going to do her emote to pull out the guitar, she just tripped and fell off the stage. So now we've got a crisis.
But because the assailant took so long to kind of get to his point and read the scroll.
By this point, the police have been called.
Exactly. And the police, do they show up?
Oh, boy. They show up in a big way.
Yeah. 3 hours late.
Yeah. And we have a feeling this in real time.
Right. We have a feeling that they're going to show up and shrug their shoulders and say there's nothing they can do.
Yeah. But that's not what happens. And that's why this is Chicago Heroes. So we get a cop who shows up and the cop is coming in and
we sort of get that shot up there, like starting at the feet going up, and we see the badge flash, Officer Monica.
Yeah. And I think, okay. Hey, I've heard about who's in this cast. I'm trying to figure out which one it is. And they pan up and the face is kind of shadowed by the police cap and all the hair is tucked under the police cap. But then she takes it off and the hair goes flying everywhere. And it's Courtney Cox playing Monica.
I was like,
the cop.
Hello, Mrs. Officer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I call her Courtney Cops.
Yeah.
And if you see that one written down and spelled out, it's that is funny.
I call her Courtney Cops.
And I also call her Courtney Cops.
And I have just started calling her Courtney Cops. So Courtney Cops, she takes her time to kind of assess the situation. She's surveying the... basically, she's doing what a good cop would do.
Right.
Which is take out a magnifying glass.
Yeah, she doesn't come in hot.
She looks around for a dog to potentially murder. Stuff like that. Stuff cops do.
She's looking for any stray temptations, yes. You know, anything that might sort of turn her into Mr. Hyde, you know? And
that's Ms. Hyde.
Ms. Hyde.
Turn her into Ms. Madam Hyde.
But...
is that your cam girl?
Yeah, that's who I was watching, Madam Hyde.
So she's checking out with her microscope or magnifying glass.
But she does says have a microscope.
She says too close for microscopes, switching to magnifying glasses.
Yeah, she's like, I don't need to see this at the atomic level. I need to see this at
the big picture.
The very close level.
You know?
Yeah,
and that brings us to this week's, hey, what's the big idea? And the big idea is that you don't always have to deconstruct every little thing.
Sometimes it's bad to sometimes do that.
It is bad. Nuance is good until it's bad.
Yes.
Mm.
Ah, and that's the big idea.
So she checks out the damage to the window from the camera pushing in through it. And she does that for 5 or 10 minutes before we kind of see her tune into the fact that there are a lot of constituents in the coffee shop screaming for help.
And somebody finally just goes to her, oh, hey, no, officer, that's not what you were called here for. That's got nothing to do with any of this.
And she pulls out her pad and pen and she starts scribbling it off. She's like, well, that was a lot of paperwork for nothing.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Oh, it's totally
paperwork
fair.
Sucks.
I mean, our boys and ladies in blue are mired in...
Our boys and ladies in blue.
That is what they are called. BLB. And our blabs are mired in bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And that's one reason that we don't see them in the real world behaving with the kind of efficiency and heroism that so far in this episode we've seen from Courtney Cops. So she gets into the coffee shop and she's
in the co- She gets into the coffee shop.
Climbs in through the big hole in the bay window. And the guy that came out to tell her that that's not what she was called for, he walks right through the front door. And he goes like, don't know what she went through that for. So there's some funny stuff.
Oh, but that's what we love.
Yeah.
Chicago Heroes.
It's all about tension and release.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's all about same with watching pushing in and busting through that window.
X videos, tension and release.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Same sex, same violence, same city.
So at this point, we've had our release, and the tension builds back up when, after a little refractory period where Monica kind of
cleans herself up with a towel because she got bloody walking through the window.
Right. And she says to, she kind of says to herself, oh, I hate blood. I hate being messy.
Right. Yeah. And of course, the potential assassinator, he's kind of tired.
The alleged.
Right, alleged assassinator. He's a little tired. He kind of just wants to lay there.
I am the assassinator.
Yeah, he just wants to kind of lay there, and he's a little embarrassed that the assassination didn't go right.
He's sort of, he's kind of after
he's apologizing to everybody.
He's like, and then he's kind of saying to himself, well, at least it lasted a long time.
Right.
At least I made it all the way through the scroll.
He said to himself, Gary, remember, it's not about the size of the assassination. It's about the motion of the ocean.
And Gary Sinise was so good in this role.
Oh, he was great. He was so good. I mean, it's just nice to see him getting work again after they canceled CSI New York. And he's had...
In a different city. That's all he needed was a different city.
A change of scenery, if you will.
And I will.
But his role on the show is probably not going to last for long.
Well, no.
Because the assassinator is about to face down the policinator.
Yeah, but then he sort of sees the cop and he goes, gotta run.
Yeah.
And he gets up. Takes off.
And runs.
Takes off.
Fast. Really fast.
And Courtney Cops.
His legs spin up. Cartoon spin up.
Yeah.
And there's a trail of fire behind him as he runs away.
Yeah, and Courtney Cops just, she's still kind of wiping up all the mess from the window bust.
Yeah, she's cleaning the coffee bar at this point even. She's kind of moved on to other things that she sees that she can tidy around
and
the coffee store.
And this is a little bit interesting from a character perspective. It's kind of telling us this is an anal person. This
is she's like type A.
Type A.
Which stands for?
Anal.
Not coincidentally... That's the type of stream on the X videos that I watch.
Yeah, I was hoping we could do this. Show. Yeah. I was hoping we could get there.
I would say that pause for me to come up with that was worth it. And that brings us to this week's worth it moment.
Brought to you by that pause.
Well, back to the episode. So this scene is kind of starting to resolve itself, you know?
And we think, okay, so what's happening next? But we hear sirens in the distance, and that we know there are sirens in the show and not sirens in the background of the show because somebody's getting hurt because we see the lights.
Right.
And they pull up. And the ambulance kind of backs itself up into the broken window, just getting as close as possible, kind of almost getting the back of the ambulance through into the coffee shop. And the two doors swing open. And then we do a pan up from the feet all the way up to a badge.
There was the saxophone from Careless Whisper was playing.
Yeah. Yep. And she, and then we see the badge and it says
Rachel.
And
that's a paramedic badge.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's got the snake and the cross thing on it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
And I got so confused when they showed that because I saw the snake and the cross and I was like, that looks like the kind of shit that that Gary should be wearing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like some real don't tread on me shit.
It really looked like that.
Yeah. But it's not. It's paramedic.
You explained to me when we were watching it what it meant.
Yeah. I leaned over and whispered, that's paramedic.
That's not a libertarian. That's a paramedic.
Yeah. So,
because I was doing a little, I was crossing my fingers out in front of me, you know, like I was like, get away from me, Bruja, you know?
Yeah. It was Jennifer Aniston.
Ooh. What a smoke show.
Smoke show.
And the smoke show of the day.
Yes. Smoke show of the day. Smoke show of the year.
Of the,
right?
Yeah. People's sexiest smoke show of the world.
That brings us to this week's SOTY Award, Smoke Show of the Year, which goes to Jennifer Aniston as Rachel the paramedic.
That was fun. And Rachel, you can
big fans going on her hair with her hair blowing back sexy.
Yeah.
I think that's going to catch on.
You know, that was a nice aesthetic that they brought to this show. You know, you usually only see that in Pepsi commercials.
Right. Right?
But the idea of bringing that into, I'll say it, I'll call it what it is, filmmaking.
Yes.
Is very smart.
It's, yeah. And it is erotic. I was, when I was on X Videos.
Yeah, nobody contested that. Yeah.
No, nobody challenged you on that one.
When I was on X Videos, there was a Pepsi ad right before the video started. I was like, I don't even need the video anymore. I was like, well, no, I forgot. I'm not here to bust. I'm here to watch Chicago Heroes.
That's sometimes me when I read the descriptions of it before I watch it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why Coca-Cola is losing market share, because Pepsi is finding ways to break into niche untapped audiences.
Yeah, like going on Joe Rogan podcasts.
Pepsi.
Yeah.
Mr. Exactly. Pepsi himself.
Oh yeah! Oh! If you haven't watched, if you have not watched that episode,
dude,
of Rogi,
Ben is busting.
Oh!
Right
if you have not watched the Mr. Pepsi episode of Rogi, you gotta watch.
What's Rogi? Oh, Joe Rogan.
It's great.
That's what Rogies call it.
It's really interesting to me to watch Rogan react. He keeps having Jamie bring up clips of Pepsi commercials, and he just busts in his pants while he's watching them. They're great.
This is good. It's Jennifer Aniston, and she gets off the truck.
Yeah.
Hair blowing in the wind, and boy, I said to Ben, I lean over, I whisper, I want that haircut. That's,
you know,
a haircut.
That haircut looked, and I'll call it what it is, iconic.
Yeah.
Like it will be.
Yeah.
Right?
Like if you're not investing in it now, you're dumb.
You're not going to be able to buy it. You're not going to be able to afford it later.
Yes, exactly.
I don't even know how to describe the cut.
Lots of layers.
It was sort of a, you know it when you see it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. when you see this cut, you know.
Yeah.
And we didn't address that earlier, but the ambulance was a truck. it was a converted, Toyota. Wait, Tacoma.
What? Not to be pedantic, but what is an ambulance?
Yeah, I knew you were going. I knew you were going there, and I just already don't have an answer. I don't know. What is an ambulance? Is it a van?
No.
Is it a truck?
I think it's a truck.
And here's why.
Well, that brings us to this week's eating crow for a second time moment.
I'll take a second helping of crow.
And that's what I have to say. I'll take a second helping of crow, please.
That rare crow.
If I have to have any more helpings of rare crow, I'm going to be flying too close to the sun. And that's been this week's I'll Take a Second Helping of Crow moment, brought to you by me not knowing that an ambulance is a truck.
Well, yeah, and we decided once and for all, definitively, that that's what it is.
Don't at us.
You can at me. I'll reply.
Please do. So, Sarah,
Ben,
you know, not to belabor the point about what Rachel looked like when she got off the truck, but let's move into the coffee shop, and we'll do it faster than it took her to get in there, which was 15, 20 minutes.
Well, she did it all to the White Snake.
Yes, and the camera was tracking with her, sort of like it was moving back where she was in steady distance from it, walking straight at the camera.
Yeah.
Banana, bone, bone. Banana, bone, bone. And that must have been as much as the song, the White Snake song that they had the rights to, because it cut off there.
Yeah, and what White Snake song was that?
Pour Some Sugar on Me. So she gets into the coffee shop, which... Now I'm realizing.
Pour Some Sugar In the coffee.
Oh, the coffee-fee.
What is that from?
I don't, it just sounds good.
And it's funny.
It's sort of
it's really funny.
It's kind of like Jennifer Aniston's haircut where it's just the perfect thing.
Yes, you know? And it will stay for years. We'll never forget it.
Right, it's timeless.
Timeless, that's what I meant.
So she heads in. She makes the same mistake as the cop at first, where she's trying to fix the window. And then she realizes that the mayor's
medical
crying.
Tape, and she's trying to
kind
of patch it together with the medical tape.
Just throwing bandages all over the shattered glass.
She keeps putting her stethoscope up against it.
She's another one of these characters where, you know, they're kind of drawing these character attributes, you know, beginning of the season, debuting characters.
You got to know what these people do.
Right.
And that's, I thought I did enjoy the, when she was taking the what's the thing that you...
The paddles.
Yeah, the paddles for a heart attack, and she was putting on the glass and saying clear, but then she was also talking about what glass is, which is clear.
It was a smart...
Oh, a real who's on first kind of...
Double entendre, kind of multiple layers of meaning.
She would say clear, and everyone would go, yeah, it is.
Everyone, yeah. Everyone, there was all the constituents who were lying on the ground all over the coffee shop. Just because, you know, none of them actually got hurt, but they all kind of said,
I'm sleepy.
Feels good now that I'm down here. Not so bad down. View's not so bad from down here. That's what I heard one of them say.
Yeah.
Because I think that they had when they were filming this episode, I think they had the mics. The mics turned up too high or something, or like running too much, because you could hear what the extras, the non-actors, you could hear them whispering to each other like the whole time.
Yeah.
Even when we're outside with the ambulance, you could hear them talking, you know, like one guy's like, oh, I gotta pee, you know?
So
ooh, I just think I should have been farted.
The view's not so bad from down here is what I say every time I check our ratings.
I did hear a lot of talk about, well, what's a crafty right now?
Oh, yeah. They were all kind of trying on the industry lingo, you know, because none of them are actors, but you could tell that...
I think they're kind of actors.
No, trust me. These people...
They're closer to scum than they are actors.
Yeah, crisis actors, maybe. And that brings us to this week's... What's the false flag here? False flag flying, because I am not sure that I believe that these folks weren't paid to orchestrate this whole event with the mayor. You know, what do we know about her so far? She seems a little too perfect.
Yeah.
And Sarah is saying yeah and disagreeing with me hard right now. So we'll put this one on the shelf, but I'm going to be keeping a skeptical eye on whether there's anything kind of... whether there's any kind of gate going on here.
Yeah, I would be interested to look into things and see if those actors were paid to be there.
Exactly. Yes. Show us the receipts. And if you've got them, show us the receipts. And if you've got them, that proves that there was something wrong.
And that's the false flag of the week.
Hey, what's the false flag of the week? Is that what it was?
Yeah. Hey, what's the false flag of the week?
Yeah, I think that's it.
It sounds like you're setting me up for a Laffy Taffy joke. Because the way you said, hey, what's the false flag of the week? I thought, do you have a pun or something like that coming up after this?
No. Ground beef. That's what you call a cow with no legs.
I get it. Okay. So let's get our cow legs back under us here. The mayor doesn't seem to be injured other than maybe she has a...
wounded ego?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
So Rachel does a little bit of tending to that.
Yeah, just kind of pats her on the shoulder, says, you're still mayor, you're still important.
She starts burping her a little bit.
Like a little baby and kind of caressing her hair.
She asks if she needs her diaper changed.
Yeah, and then the mayor's like, I'm an adult. Come on. Like,
yeah, she seems kind of like she's a straight-talking, take-no-shit kind of person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not...
And take-no-shit in her diaper, because she's not wearing a diaper.
Exactly.
So we want to put any theories that are out there floating around with the viewers.
I'm being serious this time. Do not at us about this. There's
no...
reason to.
Do not add us. We want to shut this
Connor,
down.
Connor, but don't add us.
I'll talk about it for a little
bit. Shut this down right now. Chicago Mayor Lisa Kudrow does not wear diapers, and she does not shit in them because she does not wear them.
There are so many better conspiracies to get into than this one.
I mean, see the aforementioned.
What's the false flag of the week?
See that? If you don't remember, go back, listen to it again. If you didn't catch all the kind of details there,
or check out,
we hit a lot of points with that one.
Or just check out the transcript.
Oh yes, yeah. We will have a transcript up for this on YouTube. It's auto-generated by YouTube when we post the episode.
Yeah.
If you notice any mistakes that they make in the transcript, feel free to let us know that we could incorporate those in improvements.
Do
add
us.
You know, maybe if they said something.
Don't at me, though. I'm not involved with the show beyond this episode.
And also, Connor doesn't know how to spell.
Yeah, but if there's a mistake in the closed captioning that makes what we said better, you know, let us know. We'll re-record this whole thing and put it out.
Yeah. If you have suggestions on how we can redo this episode.
Oh, yeah. Just in general. In general. Hit us up.
Let us know how you would like to hear this episode go.
Add us at Please Save Me Pod. Make sure you give us a timestamp for any corrections you have or notes, edits.
Yeah. And we'll edit.
I'm thinking at this point, big picture, we've pretty much got it down. But if you just any details, you know, little things.
Yeah. Do you want to hear me drink my water on the mic more or less?
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we're about halfway or more through the episode at this point. A lot has happened, so it's hard to keep track of. But basically, the mayor, Lisa Kudrow, she kind of plants a seed for a tree to grow later in the episode.
A tree grows in Chicago?
And it's going to. And the seed that she plants is she tells paramedic Jennifer Aniston...
Rachel.
Oh, that's the character's name. My bad.
It's hard to get used to. These are new characters.
And we don't ever hear anyone say her name. We just see the badge.
Yeah.
Right? And so reading is actually, it's a different part of your brain than listening. And I can only use one at a time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So she tells Rachel that she has a big event later at the Chicago Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as she's in tip-top ship shape in time for that event, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a little bit of like setting the stakes. You know, like a TV show has to have stakes, right?
Yeah.
And so
I prefer crow over steaks.
I was going to say, I'll take mine medium rare, please.
And well, this one is piping hot, you know, which I guess a rare steak can still be hot.
If you get a good sear on it.
Medium rare, yeah. Sear. I think is rare a little bit, is it only warm in the center as opposed to hot?
Yeah. So you generally speaking, rare, you literally just like throw it on the pan, flip it over, and then you're done. You don't even really need to check the inside temperature. It's gonna still be pretty cool. You're just putting on to like get all the bacteria out of it. I worked in a restaurant.
Okay. And that's been Steak Chat.
And I have some follow-ups. So we're going to save those follow-ups probably for the Patreon when we have one.
Yeah, once we get somebody to listen to the podcast, then maybe they listen to a couple episodes and maybe they throw $2 our way and then we do Steak Chat.
Yeah, I mean, I figure all we have to do to get people to contribute to the Patreon is...
make a good podcast.
Convince them that they need about 10 hours a week of unfiltered content straight from our mouth holes into their ears every week.
Yeah.
Which is about, you know, 40 hours a month that they want to spend listening to us. And that seems doable.
Yeah.
Right. So look out for Steak Chat over there.
Yeah, so, look out.
So as we come into Act 2 here, or 3, or however many acts there's been, Sarah, I'm curious about your thoughts about the choice to change locations. You know, we've spent this whole episode up to this point basically at the coffee shop.
Well, to me, Ben, I've never seen this coffee store before. I've never seen it. And to me, I'm like, okay, like, I'm still not sure if this is even the same Chicago as the original series. And so I like the fact that they took us outside, that they took us to Chicago Avenue, to Chicago Parkway, and kind of...
It was drone footage, so you could... really get a sense of the lay of the land.
Yeah. And of course, it's shot in LA, but...
Yeah, I was going to say that there was an interesting choice that they made to... You know, the drone footage would usually be something you might use to show that something was shot on location. You know, that it wasn't a building in a different city that they were using to pretend to be the building in the city that mm-hmm. the show set in.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting for them to choose to do the drone footage that was so blatantly Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, where really you could just tell it was LA. I mean,
you see the Celebrity Center, you see
the Griffith Celebrity Center. Yeah,
the Griffith Observatory.
Santa Monica Pier.
Santa Monica Boulevard. I mean, right down to Everclear was out there on the pier playing.
Yeah.
You know, playing just sort of a pop-up show.
Yeah. And those are trendy.
Yeah.
I was going to start singing Everclear, but I'm getting the...
Woo! Sing it!
Woo! Boom, boom. Boom, boom.
I love this singing.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. I am still living with your ghost. Lonely and dreaming of the West Coast. I don't want to be your... Downtown. I don't want to be your stupid guy with my big black boots and an old suitcase. I do believe I'll find myself up. And that is all the rights that we have to that song.
And if you want to hear more, you can sign up for our Patreon. Patreon? Patreon?
It's only truly a Patreon if it's from the Patreon region, friends.
Exactly.
Meme format.
And that sort of is an act of resistance itself at George W. Bush, right? Because he hates France.
Oh, yeah. The French, the freedom fries.
Yeah. I could actually go for some Patreon fries right about now. Yeah.
And they're only freedom fries if they're from the freedom region of the New United Jersey. Yes, New Jersey.
I was asking Sarah about, what'd you think of this location change? Pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, I loved it.
And new character, right? They're still kind of debuting the different pieces of the ensemble.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think what they did here was really smart and very deft. They want to introduce all the people we're going to be seeing the rest of the season, of course, because it's the premiere, it's the reboot. They want to build trust that, you know, we know what they're doing, or they know that we know that they know what they're doing. And they proved it because we went to a lawyer firm.
Yeah.
And we...
Chicago lawyer firm.
Yep. And we kind of go up the golden elevator.
69th floor.
69th.
Obviously.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. We go up to the 69th floor and we step out. Into a beautiful, tall
atrium.
Atriums, floor to ceiling windows, glass, clear,
mm-hmm.
and
a little bit of a callback.
They
had a window.
Yeah.
Hey, what's on floor 69? The penthouse. That's pretty much what it was.
Yes, but it was penthouse where a lawyer firm. Yeah, and
a bit of an office.
It was a pent office.
Yeah. And there's a big desk. And there's
the chairs facing the window behind the desk. We see the back of someone's head. As the camera slowly pans, and not pans, pushes towards
slowly,
the desk.
Slow but hard.
Yeah. We hear the line, "Could I be any more of a lawyer?"
Yes, he says that.
And that's Matthew Perry, our lawyer, Chandler. What a name.
You know, they are doing things that no one has ever done before with
naming
this episode.
Naming people Chandler. Having Kofifi.
Using intonation in the way that that character speaks. I mean...
Be any more of a lawyer?
99%
could
of
Could I be any more of a lawyer? Could
the, it's
I...
It's interesting. The way he says it, it almost makes it feel like he's answering his own question by saying, no, I couldn't be any more of a lawyer.
And it's really smart because that's a two for one, right? So if you get a
two birds, one stone.
If you get a character to to kill one bird with what they're actually saying. But then there was another bird that was an implied question that came before it. That's actually minutes that you cut out of your show because you don't have to have like another character ask them the question first. So what they lost in the 35 minutes they spent in the coffee shop with kind of crisis actors.
Wait, I want to say something.
Yeah, sure.
Two crows, one Ben.
This is a good time too. Crows, one Ben. And that is footage that you can get on our second, if you're in our second tier of our Patreon, you can see the Two Crows, One Ben footage. Anyway, I was kind of waxing poetic about acting techniques, you know? And what I have to remember...
Two Crows, One Ben.
...is that our listeners are pretty smart, so they don't need me to explain all this stuff.
Matthew Perry, lawyer... Chandler kind of just not doing anything, saying, could I be any more of a lawyer to nobody in particular?
Yeah, he kind of repeats it a few times to himself, changing the intonation. He goes, could I be any more of a lawyer?
And that's interesting because that is like contemplative.
Yeah.
Contemplative. Yeah, I mean,
as much as this guy's thinking, he's practically Dumbledore staring into the pensive.
Yeah.
You know, but he's still facing out the bay window and he's basically twiddling his thumbs.
Yeah.
You know, and what I'm thinking is this guy probably bills, you know, four bills an hour.
Yeah.
And he's twiddling his thumbs. He should be working right now.
Yeah. But that's a good noise. When, but then he kind of starts dumbling under his breath like Dumbledore and says, if only the mayor hadn't outlawed all the guns and crime.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems a little sad that crime got outlawed in Chicago because he says you know, I'd have a stack of cases 300 miles high on my desk back there. There
69 still, stories high.
Crime was still legal.
Yeah.
But since crime got outlawed, there's no more crime.
Doesn't really have anything to do but sit in his office and drink alone all day.
Yep.
He says he's been made obsolete. You know, like,
yeah.
And that's kind of the dangers of automation.
Yeah, a computer could do his job.
It is.
And of course it's not. He does have the job and he's being paid to be there, presumably. Well, I don't know. How does being a lawyer work now that I think about it?
You have to bill hours.
He doesn't seem to have any clients, so I don't think he has anyone to bill.
Well, but he's a district attorney.
Yeah, he's a district attorney.
He is a district attorney.
So he's a government employee.
So he's salaried by the taxpayer.
Oh, and
isn't that something?
Ah, he's sitting there doing nothing on my dime.
And that's job creation. So... the job that's been created for him is twiddling his thumbs, and that's what he does. And we really only see him for just a few minutes.
We watch a few minutes of him twiddling his thumbs.
Yeah, he kind of moans and...
Couldn't be more than 7 or 8 minutes of him twiddling his thumbs.
Gets up, goes, takes a piss. We just watch the empty office while he does that.
There's a little kind of daydream thought bubble that pops above his head with Mayor Lisa Kudrow in it, announcing that she outlawed crime and him getting like an angry look on his face.
Yeah, and like he's thinking back to all the tweets he did about it. If you outlaw crime, people are going to still find a way to do crime, which he was wrong about.
He was so wrong. And that brings us to this week's Can I Have a Third Helping of Crow? Brought to you by Mr. Lawyer Chandler, who's got to be chowing down on a little bit of rare crow right about now Slurping some rare. And that was this week's Can I Have a Third Helping of Crow? And we're actually moving towards pretty much the end of the episode.
Thank God.
Things started to kind of wrap up.
Right? Yeah, things rapidly started to wrap up. So we get to the museum, and Mayor Lisa Kudrow actually shows up on a fire engine.
Yeah, she wanted to make a big show of authority and power, I would say. Because she just had another assassination attempt on her. These have been happening, as she said to Rachel, like weekly.
You know?
And so she makes a show of strength. She shows up to the Chicago Museum on the back of a big bright red fire truck. And
she's on top of it going, wee-oo.
Because she is really liberal. And there are... people who are sensitive to noise. And so she's outlawed sirens after 10 p.m. right? And so we're at the end of the night, and people who are kind of sensitive.
And 10 p.m. is interesting to say, because it's, now I'm realizing that's kind of a weird time for her really to do what she did.
It's really weird. You might say that she had an evening at the museum. So she shows up to the museum to make...
The historic Chicago Museum.
Oh, yeah. There's a boxer running up and down the steps outside of it.
Uh-huh.
You see the big Chicago dinosaur out front.
Exactly. And so she makes the fire truck guy extend the ladder all the way up to the top of the head of the Chicago dinosaur so that she can slide down its neck like a big water slide.
Chance the dinosaur.
That's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's you're taking a chance every time you slide down his neck that you won't break your own.
Yeah. And she slides down and she's like, bonk, 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 bonk. And she's saying these all with her mouth.
And you might think it's interesting that Sarah seems so eager for the episode to be over. And yet when an opportunity comes around for her to note something that happened in the episode where a character went bump, 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 she does really want it.
Okay, but that's theme.
And that brings us to this. week's What's the Theme, which is
bounce. Life is a rocky road.
Try to bounce over the cracks.
That's the theme.
I would say that Mayor Lisa Kudrow is really bouncing over all of the tacks and cracks that are in her way.
Yeah,
because she projects confidence here.
Yeah.
You know?
And she projectile vomited.
Yeah.
She does. She was a little shaken up from sliding down the back.
Okay, but if you've been through an assassination attempt and you slid down the neck of a dinosaur, I would be kind of shaken up too.
Also, we did fill a note. She was probably a little dizzy when she was on the fire truck. That the siren like light is a little too bright, so she just held her flashlight.
The phone. Siren light.
Yeah. She held the flashlight on her phone and spun around in circles. Yeah. Yeah.
She was basically doing pirouettes.
Yeah.
Up on the top.
So of course she's going to be shaken up. She's going to projectile vomit as any one of us would.
You're not better than her. So she.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
You got to look somewhere in this crazy world. Why not make it another person? Right? And you can use that.
I will. Connor, you can tweet it.
I'll tweet that out.
Connor, you tweet it and get 100,000 likes for no reason.
That's how it goes, baby.
If you never encountered Connor's...
Nothing wrong with that.
If you never encountered...
If
you never encountered Connor's Twitter before...
You could find some of my hits like the word dumbass baby that got hundreds of thousands of likes.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who's got engagement to wear... You know, he can tweet something like, feel like wearing shorts right now, you know?
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. And that'll take off.
Sometimes I'll say, you know, about to eat lunch, you know, sometimes you just got to eat lunch. And I'll get triple digits on that for no discernible reason.
And that's a proof that karma is not real.
Wearing a t-shirt today, my life a movie for real.
That might be like directly a quote that I've said before.
Yeah, it really might.
Yeah, Ben's memorized all your tweets because he's so fucking jealous.
To weaponize them against you. The student must learn the techniques of the master if he's going to ever become the master.
Yeah.
Right? So
and that's Connor's, why I just respond to...
Connor's studying how to recap a TV show right now.
Right.
Yep.
And I would say that we're putting on a master class. So, Sarah... what did you think about the technique that Mayor Lisa Kudrow used to make this big announcement that she's about to make?
I thought it was good.
Yeah?
It was
kind of an interesting way to generate hype.
Yeah. But this is somebody who's kind of seen and done it all, right?
Yeah.
She knows every trick in the book, and she's trying to rewrite the book.
She's a born performer, too.
Yeah.
You know, so people... often wrongly will, and when I say often, you know, I know this was the first episode of the TV show, but you got to understand
the world building they did. You could feel that this has happened before.
You could feel it, and the subreddit really fucking took off. as soon as they did the show. I mean, I was on there. I had four.
I don't like to read it. It's so toxic.
But if you are willing to wade through the toxic sludge, you might find a diamond. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can use that.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'm good.
That brings us to this week's I'm Good moment, brought to you by, and you can use that. So anyway, Sarah, so what did you think about this, this guy?
I already said.
This nerd. Well, yeah, but this was like, she did the dinosaur thing. She skated down to the back of the dinosaur, but then she kind of, has a hype man come out for her before she makes her announcement.
Yeah.
You know, classic hype man.
Yeah. Gary Sinise in a mustache.
Right. AKA David Schwimmer. Right. And tell me that that's not true. Tell me that that's not true. If you look at the two images of them, tell me that David Schwimmer does not look like a dead ass Gary Sinise wearing a mustache. Right?
I can't. I can't.
You can't. Where's the lie? Right?
Show me the lie.
Show me the lie. Yeah.
Show receipts.
None found.
Yeah. And that's the thesis. And my wig was snatched.
So this freaking nerd, he comes out wearing his mustache. He takes his mustache off and you can see, oh, it's David Schwimmer. So he even has his own little hype man, which is his mustache. And you know he's a nerd because he has nerd glasses.
Hype man of the face.
His nerd glasses. His mustache is the hype man of the face.
And you can tweet that.
And he has nerd glasses on.
Yeah.
And he pushes
a real Poindexter.
Oh, yeah. This guy's a pencil neck. And he starts doing a speech about, like a lecture almost, about how old dinosaurs are. Right? He goes, yeah. Did any of you know how old the dinosaurs really are?
He said it like that, but really mopey.
Right. It sounded more like, no, do you know how old dinosaurs really are?
Or do you know how old dinosaurs really are?
We're getting closer, but we're not quite there yet.
Do you know how old dinosaurs really are?
He said, do you know how old dinosaurs really are?
Do you know how old dinosaurs really are?
And now I think we're losing it.
Do you know?
Do you know?
Do you know how old dinosaurs really are?
Do you know how old dinosaurs?
He takes a big drag from his cigarette.
What I have to imagine at this point is that the director, I think, was rolling tape on all of the alts.
Yeah.
And in an alt, that's an industry term for alternate Robert takes, Altman. Variety of ways to do it.
Oh, you know? That's what I call my other Twitter.
Yes, it's actually,
I don't even
it's
have
not
one
actually
of
short
those.
For Robert. It's not actually short for Robert Altman. It's short not. For Judd Apatow. So it's because someone it's kind of like a deep internet thing, you know, reference,
Judd Altatow.
But it's actually someone on Something Awful like 10 years ago mistyped a meme of Judd Apatow where they spelled it alt. And then that kind of took off and became its own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to know this stuff.
And I believe right? that Something Awful user was banned for child pornography.
Yeah. It was really, it's sort of a separate the art from the artist kind of a thing in terms of all the great memes. You know, behind every, that's something you really don't want to dig too deep on is who made the meme because you're never going to be able to love it again.
Yeah. And that's why my pitch for the VH1 show Behind the Meme never really took off.
No, they said, they were like, this is just too, no
it's one's too gonna, racist.
It's so dark.
Too racist. It's too brutal. We can't show it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know how old dinosaurs really are?
So that's what he says. And people throw out some guesses.
Yeah.
100 years, kid says.
Yeah.
Kid says 100 years. And then this guy looks kind of like a fundamentalist Christian. He says 4,000 years.
Uh-huh. And Mayor Lisa Kudrow kind of goes, I don't know, 5 years? What could it be? More than that? And he, paleontologist David Schwimmer, who has a badge that says Ross on it.
Yes.
With a little...
And he looks like he got his clothes at Ross, dress for less.
Yeah, what a nerd. And he goes...
Yeah, he's wearing like a... He's wearing like a...
pleated
Versace
pants.
Versace pleated Versace's with different length legs that he got for $60.
He's got the Gucci slides, but they're not actually Gucci.
Yeah, he's wearing two Tommy Hilfiger polos. They're like triple XL.
He's got a Supreme flat brim on, but Supreme is spelled wrong.
Yeah, and he has a knockoff. He's announcing like the PA. They're not using the museum PA. He's using like a knockoff Bluetooth iPhone speaker to do the announcement.
Right,
from. So everyone's having to listen really close.
And he's got the Bluetooth headset in where you. It kind of looks like he's not talking to anybody, but then you hear him, and you're like, oh, that he's talking to all of us right now.
Yeah. And this is, and let me just clarify, earlier when we said that you don't want to go too far into the details, we were talking about you, not us.
That's what the show is going into the details.
Yeah, yeah, this is a deep dive. If you're drowning, it's your own fault.
So
learn to swim, pal.
Sarah, we don't get an answer, right? He doesn't say how old the dinosaurs are?
Yeah, because it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter is what he says.
He says time is relative, and then he leaves the stage.
Yeah. He does one cool guy thing, which is the cigarette that he lit. He snuffs it out just and then flicks it into the audience.
And it hits an old woman in the eye.
And this is going to become important in one moment. Because don't forget that a cigarette in the third is going to appear in the third.
Yes.
Yeah. So Lisa Kudrow, she makes her...
Swimmers.
Swimmers cigarette.
Swimmer's gonna swim. So Lisa...
worries. We took a deep dive and you better learn to swim.
And the
would
listeners
have been funny
better... I was just thinking sink or swim.
These all would have been good had we sent them off the cuff.
Maybe next time.
Yeah, so we'll reincorporate these and re-release the episode.
Yeah, just let us know what the timestamps where you'd like to hear them come in.
Yeah, I'm not gonna put any work into that. You do it for me. Lisa Kudrow, I think she's kind of tired at this point.
Yeah, that's why she said
just
5 years.
She says 5 years.
Who cares?
Off the stage, and she makes her announcement where she says, you know, all these old guys running for president, you've seen them on the TV. They're old.
They're probably older than a dinosaur.
Probably older than a dinosaur. I can tell because dinosaurs are, what, five years old? And these guys are like
five,
than,
they
got to
be
that,
at least six.
At least six. Anyway, she goes, anyway.
And she takes out a guitar.
And she plays a little song.
Called I'm Running for President.
Wow, and she is.
Yeah.
It goes.
Sensual
you might
pantsuit.
Think an old man should be president, but I'm here to tell you he can't. We need somebody younger to run this nation. I'm here for a celebration. I'm running for president and nobody can stop me.
And then a gospel choir comes out behind her
and they go,
she's running for president, go ahead and try and stop her. Which is an interesting way for her to end the announcement because it's almost like she's, and this feeds into the conspiracy theory thing from earlier. It's almost like she's like kind of inciting people to try to assassinate her because the way that she says, just try and stop me, to me felt a little ominous.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We may or may not see this come back
right.
in this
she
season.
Does. She points, takes a red marker out and puts
yeah,
it on her forehead.
She draws a target on her forehead.
Yeah.
She looks like one of those,
blow up dolls? What are you doing?
No, I'm putting my hands
crash
on my chest to
dummy.
Signify a t-shirt.
Oh.
I was going to say she looks like one of those like Bin Laden shirts that you would see some guy wearing.
Oh my God.
So I see some guy wearing at the fair in 2007, you know?
Got him.
Got him. Well, nobody's going to be saying that about her because of she's so liberal and she outlawed crime. But we may or may not see this come back into play this season.
Oh, I guarantee this is setting the stage.
I would be absolutely devastated if we saw Mary Lisa Kudrow compromise to a permanent end like we did Osama bin Laden. And that's the thing that John Cena said when it was announced at WWE.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
And we have the rights to that, so don't add
ever take them. Don't ever take those rights away from us. And now it's time for a segment.
Well, actually, I was going to say that
there
was one final thing that happened.
Yeah, maybe
we have to cover it. It's really important that we cover it. Because that little old lady, she had the cigarette stub on her. I told you it's going to come back. She had that cigarette that was on, and this was post-credits, but she had that cigarette
Did you not stick around?
No, I did, I swear.
Okay. And it starts lighting fire. So
I forgot because
so she's lighting
hit.
Fire Burning Man. right?
Yeah. She's running the old woman is up in flames.
She's up in flames. I mean,
and thank God there was a fire engine there. See, I did watch.
And this whole time, you know, somebody had to have been driving that fire engine. This is not Elon Musk's Chicago yet.
Fingers freaking crossed. Yeah.
And who steps out of that fire truck?
How you doing?
The camera starts panning up
over the boots.
As he's walking.
Yeah,
walking, and walking
so,
towards the old lady in flames. He's not running because he doesn't want to tire himself out.
Camera pushing in hard. Right.
And we hear this is all set, of course, to Set Fire to the Rain by Adele, which, of course, you want to sing first, Ben?
I'll set fire!
I set fire to the rain.
So his badge up on his hat.
Thank you for conducting.
His medallion. And that was a good visual joke. I put my fingers up in the air like a conductor, but you couldn't see that because we don't have a Rogan set up in here yet.
Not yet.
So we're audio only, but if we get enough Patreons,
we'll get visual.
We'll get visual so you can see us sitting around and talking to each other. So that when I pull out a set of nunchucks to show off to our guests that I got from medieval France or whatever, like Rogan does.
Does he have nunchucks from medieval France?
Well, he has shit like that. In that episode
He does have the sword. I remember when he showed, was it Elon Musk?
Elon Musk, he pulls a sword. He pulls a sword off and he says, "This was made in the old way." Which is like one of the ultimate like fucking genius guy things to say, you know? Like as if he knows anything about
this
history.
This was made in the old way.
The old way. Yeah. That's what
I say before they were printed out by computers.
That's what I say when I go to when I take somebody to like a handmade pasta place, you know, I say, you know, they make pasta here in the old way. They only let Nonas make the pasta here. So anyway,
Strega Nona.
This guy has his name, this fireman. Joey.
Fireman
Joey is what it says on his.
Yeah, and it's got a little
outfit.
Winking Dalmatian in the middle.
Right.
And he walks up to this old Nona who is, I mean, she's straight up blazing. She's straight up blazing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
it's a gruesome scene.
She's looking like Rage Against the Machine album cover right now.
Uh-huh.
And Joey says to her, he walks up to her and he goes, How you doing? End of
credit.
Episode.
There we
credit.
Go. Black.
Roll
well,
credit.
The credits had already happened.
Cut to black.
So that it's just
second credits. Right? I mean, this was like Hobbitsies here eating breakfast. We went credits, second credits.
Or like Ben eating crow.
Oh, I'm not owned.
There was not a third credits, of course.
No. So it's so Matthew.
These are, in a way, the third credits.
Yeah, Matthew Perry's going to have
to. Should we start calling the show the third credits?
Well, we don't get to choose what it's called. It's called Chicago Heroes, and the network chose
No,
that,
our show.
Which one? This one?
The podcast?
Please save me.
Let's call it third credits.
I kind of like that. Third credits. It's pretty good kind of
inside joking.
Joke. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, let's just change the name.
It's tough because we would have to re-record the intro to this one. Except it's maybe...
Oh, all zero of our followers would have a hard time with that. All
right, let's take this...
Off mic.
I was going to say online. You know, people say... Take
I'll tweet it out. Online. I'll see what people think.
Thank you. That. Yeah, we can't wait to see two people interact with it and they're both my brother somehow.
So now it's time for, as Sarah said, the segment. And
I did say that a while ago.
I love the segment.
Oh, we love it.
The segment is my...
And if you don't remember it, if you're a new listener, if you don't remember it, the segment is where we kind of think outside the bun.
Let our hair down. Let our imaginations run wild. And we're going to try to live Moss with this one. So we've just recapped somebody else's creative work, faithfully, I hope.
Yeah, and if you guys think it's faithful... add us and use the hashtag faithful adaptation. And
that's at please save me pod hashtag faithful adaptation.
Yep. And if you think it was bad, don't. Hey, only positivity.
We were only able to afford one hashtag. So this is the chance, though, for us to kind of get
this
to spread
the chance the dinosaur
spread our wings a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So what we've done is after watching the episode, we each did a little bit of homework.
We each watched the episode three times.
And we came up with three questions for each other, kind of hypotheticals. This is just a fun thing that we like to do. It's if you'll indulge us. So first question.
Yeah.
Is a little setup in this episode of TV that we just watched and talked about at length. Mayor Lisa Kudrow announces her presidency at the Chicago Museum.
Yeah.
If you guys were going to announce your candidate for presidency, candidacy for president, if you're going to announce that you're running for president, where would you do it?
Okay. In the world of Chicago heroes?
In
or
anywhere in the world.
Oh, okay. Okay, I would actually like to keep it to the world of Chicago heroes, the reboot. Great. So I'm going to do it at the coffee store.
Really solid poll. That's a really solid poll. Yeah. Yeah. There was one tasty piece of meat out on the table and for the three of us. And Sarah kind of said, and she looked at it. She said, I'm going to take that piece of meat.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that one. Take that one off the table.
Yep.
If I think I'd probably.
And you can't say the fucking museum.
I'm not going to say the museum. I was thinking maybe at the original, like, first location of the very first Chicago hot dogs at First in Chicago. They're a union outfit there, and I think I do want to represent organized labor, and I can't think of a better place in the universe of Chicago heroes than Chicago hot dogs.
Good luck losing.
So I would also announce my candidacy for president at the original Chicago hot dogs at First in Chicago because they're a union shop. But I would be doing it to show them, to show everybody.
You'd be doing it in
that
Spanish.
I'm better. I'd be doing it in Spanish for one thing. And I'd also be doing it to show everyone that I'm not going to get pushed around by the union. You know, that they can't stop me from announcing my presidency at their hot dog restaurant. They can't make me do anything because I'm not in their union, and I don't want to be, wouldn't be if they asked me to. So yeah, they actually asked me and I said no. Yeah, they actually DM'd me a bunch and they gave me their phone number and stuff, and we it was my choice not to join their union, like doing it because I want to, not because they wouldn't let me anyway.
That's the real Liv Moss mentality.
Yeah. So anyway, there was a second hypothetical question, right?
Yeah. So the question that we came up with next was that Mayor Lisa Kudrow announces her running for candidacy for presidency, running for candidacy for president, she's announcing she's running for president at the Chicago Museum. If you were stuck in the Chicago Museum for a night, where would you sleep? What exhibit would you sleep in?
That's an interesting question. I would. So I'm of two minds on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
One is that I'm very scared of the dark, so I could not do it in a really dark area. Where I'm trying to think, what's the most well lit? Probably the art section, the famous Chicago art, because you have to see the paintings.
Yeah. Yeah. So they put a lot of lights in there.
There's so many lights in there. But I also. No, that I would get very...
Rest of the exhibits, you don't gotta see them.
And they installed the kind of lights there that don't turn off.
Right.
To save money, right? Because...
And to save energy.
To save money and energy, because it actually, people don't know this, it takes more money and energy to turn a light on and off than it does to run it.
Right. But then I think that's with my heart. Where my head is telling me that I should probably spend the night is, well... In the Chicago's caves, famous cavemen exhibit, with because all the fur on the bodies would keep me nice and warm.
Yes, because famously the Chicago Museum, they spend so much money on the lighting that they cannot afford
freezing
heat.
Freezing cold.
So we didn't say this, but in that last scene, everyone was wearing furs. Even
yeah,
it's
yeah. They were all shivering.
Faux furs because she outlawed real.
Right.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's a crime.
She made everyone in the city, and this was backstory that they put in the TV guide. She made everybody, she did a fur buyback where everyone had to come in. Everyone had to... come in, and she marked the fur bought back by drenching blood on it.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway.
Ben, where would you
sleep?
Second
worth it moment. where would I sleep? I'm Han Soloing it. I'm going to cut open the belly of the dinosaur and snuggle up inside with his warm guts.
Okay.
Tremendous.
I'm free soloing it, and I'm climbing to the very top of the building without help from anybody or anything. And then I'm going to kind of just be sort of an asshole and fall asleep.
Your girlfriend's going to kind of be like, I guess he likes to do that.
Yeah, I don't get it and don't like it, but
They're like, why do you love him? They're like, well, I kind of love him because he like says he doesn't love me or care about me or think about me.
And I'm into basically that.
Dog shit to him.
Yeah.
He pretty much walks all over me.
Yeah.
If, well, you know,
he's rude to everybody in his path.
Yeah, it'd be nice if he was rude to me even. He basically doesn't think anything about me.
Yeah.
And I'd like to make it very clear that I would hope solo it and kick around the idea of where to sleep in my mind for a little bit.
That's beautiful. So that brings us to our third and final question.
Yes. So my question for you guys is, as we saw, Lisa Kudrow announced her nomination for the candidacy for she announced that she was the presidential candidate of herself. She was going to run for president at the Chicago Museum. And famously at the Chicago Museum, there's Chance the Dinosaur. If you were going to eat a dinosaur, how would you prepare it?
Oh, I love that one. I love that one. Well, I'm kind of a molecular gastronomy guy, so I would probably sous vide it.
God damn it.
And then make a foam out of its scales. Dinosaurs have scales, right?
Yeah.
I thought they had feathers, but go ahead.
They have scales and feathers.
There's no fucking way that dinosaurs had feathers, bro.
So, yeah, I take it back.
Ever heard of a freaking pterodactyl?
Well, now you've got me thinking a little outside the bun.
Maybe instead of eating dinosaur, you're going to be eating crow.
Oh, fuck. Anyway, Sarah, what would
Which
you do?
Which has feathers. That's funny. I would hard boil it.
Not after I'm done plucking it. I'm so fucking good at plucking crow at this point.
Oh, wait, you don't have to eat the feathers?
No. Have you been plucking them and then eating them?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh,
I like a little feather garnish.
It's kind of like a do you like fries with skin on or skin off kind of a situation. You know, yeah. It's everybody's taste.
Yeah.
So you were saying...
I'd hard boil it.
Hard boil it. Well, that's a good call because when you're entering a hibernation girl summer... You do need food that you can store up for those 4 months.
Yeah, and a hard-boiled dinosaur is really going to do it for you.
It'll keep.
Yeah. You just got to make sure you jar it.
Really going to do it for you.
And you know how you can tell if a dinosaur is
skin
hard,
off, by the
hard
way. Oh, yes.
And you know how you can tell if a dinosaur is hard-boiled is you try to spin it on the table, and if it spins, then that means that it's hard-boiled, and if it doesn't, then that means that it's not cooked.
Yeah.
And that is taken directly from the way that Encyclopedia Brown solves a crime in one of the stories about Encyclopedia Brown.
Tremendous.
Yeah, it's just a piece of little factoid.
Some literature for everyone
to
check out.
So, Connor, what would you do?
I would, so in my mind, this is in the Universe of Chicago Heroes, so this is a, you know, dinosaur bones. I'd make a nice bone broth out of the dinosaur.
Love it.
Maybe if there's a little meat left on those bones, I'll make a nice ramen with it.
Yeah, and bone broth, that is not normal broth.
Oh, no.
It's better.
That is not marketing. It's better.
Yeah, that's not marketing. It's better.
It's all that we drink.
Yeah.
I'm sipping the broth.
That's the broth, sis. So.
I go to xvideo.com and get boner broth.
All right.
Classic. Classic technique. Awesome. So that's been the segment. Well, we want to thank you guys for listening to this
so much.
First episode of season 3 of Please Save Me.
Yes, seriously, thank you for joining us back here if you have ever listened before. And if you're a new listener, this is pretty much what it's like every time.
Yeah, and there's one thing that you can do to get more people to join you in your misery, which is you can give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts.
Rate and review us. Yep.
Please follow us at Please Save Me Pod on Twitter. We're going to put out, you know, fun kind of little questions for you to engage with, you know, like who would you kill, fuck, marry from the episode, that kind of thing.
Sometimes Ben uses it to shame me for not answering his texts.
Yeah. So we can do that kind of thing. Yeah. And if you want to get the log into that Twitter, just, you know, just hit
us up. Surely just ask us.
Hit us up on Vine. So, we want to thank our guest this week, Connor Golden.
Connor, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You can follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, where can people find you? Any stuff that you want them to be into?
Okay, well, anyone who's listening to this probably follows me on Twitter at CNNRGLDN.
Wow.
Wow, big time.
Guess what? My mom fucking doesn't.
Yeah, he's big time.
Oh, she should. Yeah, check it out. CNNRGLDN. Nothing but good posts over there.
And that might be a little... That might become a little bit of a... Of another little please save me line, which is your mom should follow me on Twitter.
But I have a sports podcast called EFIS that you can check out. It's a lot of fun. We just did an episode where we drove to Bears training camp in Bourbonnais, Illinois. And on our way there, we found out Jeffrey Epstein was dead. So we recorded the entire episode about Jeffrey Epstein instead.
I heard that you spent basically the whole time at Bears training camp looking at Jeffrey Epstein news on your phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and that'll be relevant when this comes out.
Go get him next year.
I promise,
Tiger.
If you're following me on Twitter, I will not be done talking about Jeffrey Epstein whenever this comes out.
We'll all be done talking about Jeffrey Epstein by the time this episode comes out.
Not me. I'm not going to ever stop thinking about it.
Something else will happen.
Yeah. It'll get solved.
Exactly. So I think that's it. Our first season memorial promo section. Thanks for listening, and make sure you subscribe.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Smells like courage. Oh.